Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. Journalist Don Lemon has been arrested after he entered a Minnesota church on January 18th and recorded anti-immigration enforcement protests who disrupted a service. Lemon's attorney said he was taken into custody by federal agents in Los Angeles, where he had been covering the Grammy Awards.
His lawyer says journalist Don Lemon has been arrested after a protest that disrupted a Minneapolis church service this month. Lemon went into the church and recorded anti-immigration enforcement protesters. The former CNN anchor says he was there as a journalist with no affiliation to the protesters. His lawyer says federal agents took Lemon into custody in Los Angeles, where he was covering the Grammy Awards. It's unclear what charges he may be facing. A magistrate judge last week rejected an initial attempt to charge Lemon. His lawyer says Lemon was doing constitutionally protected work and will fight any charges. Sagar Magani, Washington.
A man claiming to be an FBI agent showed up to a federal jail in New York City on Wednesday night and told officers he had a court order to release Luigi Mangione. Mark Anderson was arrested and charged with impersonating a federal officer in a foiled bid to free Mangione from the Metropolitan Detention Center. Mangione is awaiting state and federal murder trials in the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
Authorities say a man claiming to be an FBI agent showed up to a federal jail in New York City and told officers he had a court order to release Luigi Mangione. The man was arrested and charged with impersonating an FBI agent in a foiled bid to free Mangione from the Metropolitan Detention Center. That's where Mangione is being held, awaiting state and federal murder trials in the killing of the UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. A criminal complaint filed against 36-year-old Mark Anderson did not identify the person that he attempted to free, but a law enforcement official familiar with the matter confirmed it was Mangione. The official was not authorized to speak publicly on the matter. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
President Trump has announced his selection as the next chair of the Federal Reserve. AP correspondent Mike Kempen has more.
President Trump says he'll nominate former Federal Reserve Governor Kevin Warsh to be the next Fed chair. Warsh would replace Jerome Powell when his term expires in May. Trump chose Powell to lead the Fed in 2017, but recently has assailed him for not cutting interest rates quickly enough. Warsh's appointment requires Senate confirmation. On his Truth Social site, Trump writes he has, quote, no doubt Warsh will go down as one of the great Fed chairmen, maybe the best. Warsh was on the Fed's board from 2006 to 2011. He's a fellow at the right-leaning Hoover Institution and a lecturer at the Stanford Graduate School of Business. Mike Hempen, Washington.
U.S. futures fell and world shares were mixed. The price of oil dropped and the prices of gold and silver weakened. Tax filing season is underway. The average refund last year was $3,167. This year, analysts have projected it could be $1,000 higher. This is AP News.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolball. Top-seeded Carlos Alcaraz defeated Alexander Zverev to reach his first Australian Open final. Top women's seed Aryna Sabalenka reached her fourth straight Australian Open final after beating Alina Svitolina.
Every time I'm competing there, I really enjoy my time.
NBA 19-year-old top pick Cooper Flagg of the Mavs set an NBA record for scoring by a teenager with 49 points in a loss to the Hornets. NHL Detroit's Patrick Kane became the NHL's all-time leading U.S.-born scorer with 1,375 points. In golf, Justin Rose has a one-shot lead at the Farmers Insurance Open after his opening round 10-under-62 at Torrey Pines North Course. Brooks Koepka shot 73 in his PGA Tour return. And NFL, the Falcons hired Ian Cunningham as GM. Gethin Coolball, AP Sports.
And I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
Panama's Supreme Court has ruled the concession to operate ports at either end of the Panama Canal unconstitutional. It's held by a subsidiary of a Hong Kong company, CK Hutchison Holdings. The court's ruling followed an audit by Panama's controller, which alleged irregularities in the 25-year extension of the concession granted in 2021. The Trump administration's made blocking China's influence over the Panama Canal one of its priorities in the Western Hemisphere. President Trump signed an executive order that would impose tariffs on goods from countries that sell or provide oil to Cuba. It's a move that puts pressure on Mexico. President Claudia Sheinbaum said this week her government has at least temporarily stopped oil shipments to Cuba, but called that a sovereign decision, not made under pressure from Washington. Meanwhile, Venezuela's acting president, Delcy Rodriguez, signed into law an overhaul of her country's oil industry, easing state control in an effort to lure investors. And President Trump's ordered Venezuela's airspace be reopened to commercial travel.
American citizens will be very shortly able to go to Venezuela, and they'll be safe there. They'll be safe. It's under very strong control.
Democrats in the White House have agreed to separate funding for the Department of Homeland Security from legislation that would fund most of the government until September. At a cabinet meeting Thursday, Trump said,
"We'll work in a very bipartisan way. I believe not to have a shutdown. We don't want a shutdown."
And in an online post later, encouraged members of both parties to cast a bipartisan yes vote. The deal would extend Homeland Security's funding for 2 weeks, while Democrats' demands for curbs on the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency are debated.
What the nation witnessed on Saturday in the streets of Minneapolis was a moral abomination.
On the Senate floor Thursday, Democratic leader Chuck Schumer decried the fatal shootings of Alex Pretty and Renee Good.
What ICE is doing outside the law is state-sanctioned thuggery, and it must stop.
House Speaker Mike Johnson tells AP while he vehemently opposed breaking up the funding package, it needs to be moved as quickly as possible. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Ukraine is waiting to see if Russia will pause attacks on its power grid after President Trump said Russian President Vladimir Putin agreed to a temporary halt as Ukraine faces severe winter weather. Trump didn't specify when the call with Putin happened or when the moratorium would start. However, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov told reporters on Friday that Putin had indeed accepted a request from Trump to refrain from striking Kyiv until February the 1st. In recent comments, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said he doubted Russia's intentions. However, on Thursday, he thanked President Trump for his efforts in asking for a ceasefire. Kyiv is experiencing power shortages and expects extreme cold. Zelensky said that Ukraine is ready to stop its attacks if Russia does the same. I'm Karen Shamas.
President Trump has held his first cabinet meeting of the new year, and it was notable for which top officials did not speak. The president recalled the last meeting in December, which went more than 2 hours.
It got pretty boring.
Recalling being seen as struggling to keep his eyes open.
But I didn't sleep. I just closed them because I wanted to get the hell out of here.
This time,
we are going to ask a couple of people to say a few words.
They did not include cabinet members under the most public pressure, Homeland Security Chief Kristi Noem and Attorney General Pam Bondi. The president did let the vice president speak.
It's okay, sir. I'm here for the free coffee.
In an unusual turn, the president dismissed reporters without taking any questions. President Trump's border czar is suggesting a drawdown in the number of immigration enforcement agents in Minneapolis, with a caveat, amid protests over operations and a fatal shooting.
President Trump wants this fixed, and I'm going to fix it. With your help.
Tom Homan says some agents could leave if state and local officials cooperate. Among other things, he's re-upping calls for local jails to transfer custody of illegal immigrants to ICE rather than releasing them and forcing agents to find them.
More agents in the jail means less agents in the street.
Homan's also doubling down against protesters, calling them agitators, and warning against assaulting or getting in the way of his officers.
And there will be zero tolerance.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
The man who squirted vinegar on a U.S. representative has been charged. The Justice Department has charged a man who squirted apple cider vinegar on Democratic U.S. Representative Ilhan Omar at an event in Minneapolis. The man arrested for the attack, Anthony Kazmierczak, faces a charge of forcibly assaulting, opposing, impeding, and intimidating Omar. That's according to court papers filed in federal court and made public. An affidavit says authorities determined the substance was water and apple cider vinegar. because Mircek has a criminal history and has made online posts supportive of President Donald Trump. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
U.S. Senator Susan Collins of Maine says following several direct communications with Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, urging her to get ICE to reconsider its approach to immigration enforcement in the state, immigration officials have ended their enhanced operations in Maine. The Republican senator's announcement comes more than a week after immigration officers began an ICE operation dubbed Catch of the Day, which federal officials say netted about 50 people the first day. Collins says ICE and Border Patrol officials will continue their normal operations that have been going on for years in the state, which borders Canada. New data from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office says that President Donald Trump's deployment of federal troops to several U.S. cities cost taxpayers about $496 million through the end of December. Trump said that sending in National Guard troops and active duty Marines was part of an effort to combat crime and support local law enforcement. Critics say the deployments undermine state and local authority and exceed Trump's authority under the Constitution. It estimates the cost of sending federal troops to Chicago, Memphis, Portland, Oregon, and Los Angeles, and does not include the December deployment to New Orleans. The CBO says continued deployments to those cities will cost about $93 million per month, and the deployments to other U.S. cities in 2026 would cost $18 million to $21 million per month for each city. Donna Warder, Washington.
A Russian man has been convicted in a London court of beating a woman in a crime reported by Baron Trump. The crime was in London. The suspect was Russian, and the witness who saw the beating on a video call was in the US and happened to be the youngest son of President Donald Trump. Baron Trump called London police more than a year ago after witnessing a man assaulting his friend during a short video call. Matvey Rumyantsev was convicted Wednesday of assault with bodily harm, but acquitted of rape and choking charges. Justice Benathan advised jurors before they began deliberating to treat Baron Trump's recorded accounts with caution because he hadn't testified and thus had not been subjected to cross-examination. Karen Shamas, London.
Former Illinois Sheriff's Deputy Sean Grayson has been sentenced to 20 years in prison for shooting and killing Sonia Massey, a woman with mental health issues who had called 911 to report a possible prowler outside her Springfield, Illinois home in July 2024. According to body camera footage, Grayson and another sheriff's deputy searched Massey's yard before meeting her at the door and entering her home. Massey seemed confused. Grayson noticed a pot on the stove and told the other deputy to move it. But Massey went to the stove, retrieved the pot, and teased Grayson for moving away from hot steaming water. That's when things escalated, and Grayson ordered Massey to drop the pot. She set it down, ducked behind a kitchen counter, and appeared to pick up the pot again. That's when Grayson opened fire on the 36-year-old woman, shooting her in the face. He testified he feared Massey would scald him. A jury convicted him of second-degree murder. I'm Donna Warder.
I'm Seth Soutell, and this is the AP Markets Report. Wall Street ended a day of dramatic swings pretty much where it started. The S&P 500 edged down by just 0.1% Thursday. The index had flirted with its latest record high in the morning, then fell as much as 1.5% later in the day, only to make most of it back by the closing bell. The Dow Jones Industrial Average edged up 55 points. That's about 0.1%. The Nasdaq Composite fell 0.7%. Microsoft sank 10% after its latest quarterly earnings report. That was its worst drop in almost 6 years. Facebook and Instagram parent company Meta Platforms rose 10.4%. The price of gold swung sharply following a nearly relentless drive higher in recent months. Seth Soutell, New York. Ready or not,
here we come. Parliament Funkadelic's greatest hits will be performed by the Detroit Opera on Saturday. P-Funk founding member George Clinton.
We expected to gravitate into classical, something Sly called it, long tail. That's, we wanted it to be long tail eventually.
The Detroit Opera assembling 47 musicians, including a full string section, a harp, a saxophonist, to perform the iconic tunes. The 84-year-old Clinton says he always thought big.
We were trying to be the Beatles, I put it that way, with the big arrangement. Yeah.
This is the first time an orchestra has performed the iconic group's music. I'm Julie Walker. I'm a baby.
25 classic movies are being added by the Library of Congress for its National Film Registry, as if they would leave Clueless off this list.
Whatever.
Amy Heckerling's 1995 teen comedy is joining the registry, along with Christopher Nolan's Inception, Glory, Philadelphia, Before Sunrise, and The Karate Kid.
Wax on, wax off. Don't forget to breathe. Very important.
Disney's The Incredibles is in the registry.
No matter how many times you save the world, it always manages to get back in jeopardy again. I feel like the maid. I just cleaned up this mess. Can we keep it clean for 10 minutes?
From old Hollywood, there's 1954's White Christmas and 1956's High Society, Grace Kelly's last movie before marrying into royalty. The oldest movie on the list is a silent picture from 1896, William Selig's The Tramp and the Dog. Ed Donahue, Washington.
Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen said that he recently had surgery for a broken bone in his right foot. The NFL's reigning MVP expects to be fully healthy for the start of spring practices. Allen said he broke the fifth metatarsal in his foot late in the second quarter of a 23-20 win at Cleveland on December 21st. He said he would have been able to play if Buffalo reached the Super Bowl, despite walking on crutches and wearing a protective boot on Thursday. Olympic sprinter Sha'Carri Richardson has been arrested and charged with speeding in Florida. Authorities say she was driving 104 miles per hour on a parkway near Orlando. A spokesperson for the Orange County Sheriff's Department says she was dangerously tailgating and weaving through traffic. Last year, she apologized to her boyfriend after being arrested for a domestic violence offense at Seattle-Tacoma International Airport. Professional boxer Gervonta Tank Davis bonded out of a Miami jail following his arrest on charges of attempted kidnapping, false imprisonment, and battery. Miami Gardens Police says a fugitive task force took Davis into custody on Wednesday. The charges stem from an incident at a Miami Gardens business on October 27, 2025. Last summer, the 31-year-old was arrested on domestic violence charges, which were later dropped. His attorney called Davis the victim in this case and said he looks forward to presenting his side of the story in court. United States international Crystal Dunn has retired from professional soccer after a decorated playing career to spend more time with her family. The 33-year-old New York native helped the U.S. win the 2019 Women's World Cup and the gold medal at the Paris Olympics. Dunn was under contract with Paris Saint-Germain, which said Thursday that both sides agreed to end their collaboration. Dunn, a defender, appeared in 160 games for the United States, scoring 25 goals. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
Less than a month after the brazen seizure of then-President Nicolas Maduro in a U.S. military attack in Venezuela's capital, Venezuela is shaking up its oil industry. At a rally in the capital, Caracas, Venezuela's acting president, Delcy Rodriguez, announced she has signed a law that will open the nation's oil sector to privatization. The move reverses a tenet of the self-proclaimed socialist movement that has ruled the country for more than two decades. Lawmakers in the country's National Assembly approved the overhaul earlier in the day. As the bill was being passed, the U.S. Treasury Department officially began to ease sanctions on Venezuelan oil that once crippled the industry. The moves by both governments are paving the way for yet another radical geopolitical and economic shift in Venezuela. The Associated Press has spoken to six Iranians who gave glimpses of disorder, disarray, and death from nationwide protests in Iran. All six interviewed described a renewed sense of hope, even with the bloody crackdown on demonstrators. Four of them took risks to dodge an internet shutdown in order to share what they saw, while two spoke from abroad. The Iranians said they demonstrated and witnessed state violence. Protests erupt in Iran every few years, but several said this time felt different, with unprecedented momentum and a diverse crowd. They described older residents, people from well-to-do families, even children on the streets. Activists estimate over 6,000 people were killed in the bloodiest crackdown on dissent since the Islamic Republic's 1979 creation. The European Union has listed Iran's paramilitary Revolutionary Guard as a terrorist organization in the aftermath of Tehran's bloody crackdown on nationwide protests. Kaya Kallas, the EU's foreign policy chief, said Thursday that the bloc's foreign ministers unanimously agreed on the designation. Earlier in the day, Kallas told reporters,
"If you act as a terrorist, you should also be treated as a terrorist."
The listing came after the 27-nation bloc sanctioned 15 Iranian officials, including commanders in its Revolutionary Guard, over the violent crackdown on protesters. Activists say the crackdown has seen over 6,300 people killed. German Chancellor Friedrich Merz has called the European Union an alternative to imperialism and autocracy. The German Chancellor, who spoke in Berlin on Thursday, told his colleagues Europe can forge deals with like-minded partners in a world of increasing great power rivalry. Merz is a strong backer of the EU, making more trade deals, including one with South America's Mercosur bloc and another struck this week with India. The Chancellor also underlined the continuing value of a NATO in which Europe will intensify its defence efforts. Merz also said the bloc will always seek cooperation with the United States, but not as a subordinate. He also joined other European leaders in pushing back against President Trump's assertion that troops from US NATO countries avoided the front line during the war in Afghanistan. The European Union seemed poised on Thursday to sanction Iran's paramilitary Revolutionary Guard over their deadly crackdown on nationwide protests. EU High Representative Kaya Kallas told reporters in Brussels,
The means that were taken by the regime are really, really severe. So that's why we are also sending a clear message that if you are suppressing people, it has a price.
Kallas also said that she expects the foreign ministers' meeting in Brussels on Thursday to agree on adding Iran's guard to its terrorist list. The move squeezes the Islamic Republic even further as it worries over a threat by President Donald Trump to potentially launch a military strike against it. I'm Karen Shamas.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.